Sunday, 2017. First things first, I want to share with you my very first article of camo. This sad puppy was from the 70s. I'm not even sure it would zipper anymore. I don't think it probably would. At least not on me, probably on Ethan. But it began a lifelong love of all things outdoors. This message is going to have an outdoors theme, but first things first. You know, you got your camo today? I have four categories of prizes. The first is for the family with the highest percentage of camouflage. Hands down, Kester Holtz. And you'll notice this year, there are no raisinettes. We kind of stayed away from the outdoorsy theme a little bit. So you have your choice of prizes. Okay. All right. The second prize is camo that clashes like anything. So I want to see, is that a pink hat, Cammy? Over top of a real tree. We don't have forever. Cammy, does one of these appeal to you? Which one? They all appeal to you, I know. One, no, two, three, no, wait. Milk duds, okay. Third category is someone wearing camouflage who has no idea why they're wearing camouflage. Bill? All right. Last category I've been watching is camo in the pew is the color blue that I perceive as most resembling the pew. Murph? Dallas, where's Dallas? I can't even see Dallas. That's not blue. I think Murph is close. I think Murph will get it. I hope you like licorice. That's all you get, okay? Today I want to talk about fishing. Last year, Camo Sunday, we talked about shooting and hunting. Equal time for fishing. So I want you to think, and there could be more of you here that have fished or are into fishing. And I want to start out with, what is fishing? You know, how would we define fishing? And I would define it this way. Fishing is the art of hunting a cold-blooded animal that you almost never see until you've hooked it. Think about that. You're hunting something you can't even see. That's why I prefer a rifle and a scope, you know. But you're after an animal that you can't see. And, you know, with that, I gotta think about fishing and my own experiences and yours as well. I want to talk about fishing excuses. All right? We all have them. And I want to talk the top two. Okay, the first one is this one. It's okay. I'm happy just wetting the line. All right, if I were to translate, that means you don't know how to fish. I'm happy just getting my line wet. And, you know, I don't care if I actually bring anything in. That means you can't fish. All right? It means you can't fish, you're not fishing, or you know how to fish, and you're never in the right spot. You know how it goes. It's just an excuse. All right? The second one is similar to that. You should have seen the one that got away. All right? Been there? Yeah, me too. Most of the time, it's when you hook a log under the water, and you pull and you pull, and it feels like you have a whale. Been there? And you crank and you crank, and all of a sudden, the line snaps. That wasn't a fish. It was a log. It was a tree. It was a stump. We all have excuses sometimes in how we fish. Sometimes we have excuses in how we live. You know, we think about our fishing, and, you know, sometimes my excuse is that you've seen the one that got away, and, you know, sometimes I did have a big fish and wasn't able to bring it all the way to land. Sometimes we're that close, and we never quite get there. I want to share with you this morning one of the Bible's great fishing accounts, John chapter 21. And as we look this morning and we think about fishing, I want to set the stage for what's going on here. Verse 21, verse 1 here in John, it says, after this, and what's going on, Jesus had been crucified, buried, rose again. The disciples had experienced a time of emotional turmoil, extreme grief, extreme joy, but their normal was now changed. Things would never be the same. By this point, they've already seen Jesus twice after his resurrection, but they're not seeing him every day like they had been. Things were different. And it brings us to this account. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, as he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, but James and John, and two of the others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we'll go with you. They went out, got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Anyone ever caught nothing? Me and Jason, prom night, 1979. I didn't go to my prom. I didn't dance. I was the Lions. It Hope National Headquarters listens to this one. A buddy of mine, who we were going to go into the Army together, we decided to make it a fishing night. We didn't care to dance, not with each other anyway. But we fished together. We fished a lot. That night, we decided, we just packed up a whole bunch of snacks, our tackle boxes, the lantern. We went fishing. We had the best time at catching nothing. But all night long, not a single bite. Sometimes life is that way. Here we have the inner circle of Jesus. We have Peter, we have James and John. Okay, we know those were all fishermen. There were a couple others unnamed. It could have been Andrew, one of the other fishermen. We're not sure. But anyway, we have this subset of the disciples that decide to go with Peter fishing. While they were in the midst of defining what the new normal in their life was, they thought they'd go back to their same old. Went back to an activity that gave them success. For several of them, it was commercial success. That's how they made their living, by fishing. Obviously, they knew most of the time what they were doing, but that night they caught absolutely nothing. They're at it. Sometimes I think it's about just being together. But they caught nothing. Ever been there? Fishing to no avail. Continuing on in the text, in verse 4, just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet his disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? Bottom line, Jesus knew they had no fish. He didn't laugh at them. He knew they had no fish. They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the large quantity of fish. Here we have these guys. Most of us, if you're not fishing in the right spot, and someone tells you, sometimes you're too proud to move. And you miss out. Here are these guys where they knew how to fish. They knew how to feed their families doing it. They knew how to survive doing it. They caught nothing. And here's someone on the land, A, calls them children. Hey, kids, catch any fish? They caught nothing. They weren't afraid to admit it. Jesus tells them, I have no idea it's him. Throw your net on the right side. They knew which the wrong side was, but now he needed to throw it on the right side. And he caught fish. And I love this narrative. And we continue in verse 7. The disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, it's the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you've caught, that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. I think it's interesting here, and I'm going to stop here, a personal note. John was one of the guys in the boat. John was a fisherman. It was important that it was 153 big fish. He took the time, they counted the fish. I think of those guys, you know, they ended up having a breakfast with Jesus. They counted the fish. One big fish. Two big fish. I count them like by ones, okay? They had a lot of fish. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now, none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. Does that remind you of something? He took care of their needs. He fed them. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. You know, we look at these guys living in their fallback, trying to define the new normal. Things would never be the same. And at the moment, they perhaps were wondering what was next. Jesus is on the shore making them breakfast, preparing for one more time they could spend together having breakfast around the sea. Those guys had to catch some fish. Jesus already had some cooking. He probably just made them. Who knows? He had breakfast ready for those guys. They needed the fellowship with Jesus. He knew it. But he wanted them to see something important. And as we look at this account, we think about that relationship that they have with Jesus. And for some of them, it was kind of a rerun. And I want to go back to Luke chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. Now picture several of these disciples 3 years earlier. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him, Jesus, to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, or Peter's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they'd done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they'd taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching men." And when they'd brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Three of the guys in the boat was a rerun. Think about what's going on. In that account we just read in Luke, Jesus was not a stranger to them in the beginning. He'd already been living in Nazareth. Those towns weren't that far apart. He'd already began to teach and gaining in a little bit of popularity. They were familiar with him. Just in the fact that Peter, you know, he got into Peter's boat. Peter was okay with that and took his boat out so Jesus could turn the shore into an amphitheater. But when Jesus asked those guys, you know, go out in the deep and let down your nets, they bucked back a little bit on that one. We fished all night, caught nothing. Why now? But yet Peter, already knowing who Jesus was and beginning to see who he was, put down their nets. And I think it's funny here in this Luke account, Luke was a doctor, not a fisherman. He did not count the fish. Didn't really matter to Luke. There was just a lot, a net full. But they probably weren't whoppers. But as we look at this, I want us to think about how we fish, how we live. You know, that original account shows those tired fishermen, they wouldn't take advice. They knew it. They had it all figured out. They'd fished all night. They were beaten. You know, this time the lake won. But in that account in Luke, we saw that Jesus had more for those guys. He had a life figured out for them that's bigger, far bigger than they can ever imagine or desire or understand. He wanted them to catch something that would last. Men. You know, thinking back to the John account 3 years later, Jesus on the shore told him, throw your net on the right side. No record of complaint. One thing they've lost in the last 3 years was a little bit of their pride. They were a work in progress. But still, looking for what the new normal was. You see, Jesus intends something bigger for us. And, you know, bottom line is, how do we fish for something we can't see? And, you know, when we do that, I want to think about my own experiences. Now, I'm not good at taking fish pictures. Most people, when they get a fish, they hold it out like this, right? And it makes the fish look a lot bigger. I was holding the fish back here. That was 18 and a half inches long. I'm going to tell you how I caught it. I couldn't see that fish. It's amazing what a half a stick of dynamite will do. But really? I knew somewhere under the reality of that water, there was a fish. Pastor, you know what I'm thinking. Sometimes we don't connect with that fish, but they're there. I had to wait till 10 o'clock at night, pitch dark, was going to get up the next morning at 4 and go to work. and I fished a zone. I know these big guys. These big guys like to hang. They patrol at night. During the day, everyone else is doing their thing. They're kind of hiding out. And when night comes, the other things are becoming active. They come out to eat. And so just before dark, I had a zone. I was fishing the same zone. I went back to something familiar, used the jitterbug that had been in my tackle box since the 70s, to kind of like that coat. You know, we bought them both at the same time. And I just had to stay with it. That reality was there, and I almost gave up. Almost gave up. It's like, okay, five more casts. Okay, just five more. Because I still wanted to give up. Third one, I get a hit. I say, ooh, that's interesting. No fish. And the fourth one, I get nothing. And then I throw it, and wham. The rest is history, and dinner the next night. I was amazed at the catch of one fish. The reality of fishing for something we don't see is realizing that there's a reality we don't get. And as we live our lives as Christians, you know, sometimes bad happens. You know, there's oftentimes something that the Lord has for us and we don't yet know what that is. We live in the reality of the things we can see and tangibly can touch. And we can understand what those things are, but often that's not the biggest thing God has for us. It's the things we don't see. It's the things we just have to trust Him with. And I think about those guys in John, you know, that John account where they just plain put their net on the right side. They did it His way. And He amazed them with what they caught. And, you know, we live our lives in ways that sometimes we just plain do it our way and it doesn't work. I'm guilty of that just like anyone else. But what if we actually tried to listen to Jesus and fish the way He wants us to? What would happen in our lives if we actually obeyed Him, listened to that prompting voice? You know, I fish some. I don't fish nearly as much as I used to. I actually find it more rewarding fishing for men. But usually when He has us catch something, it's the best thing we ever experience. And often we can be easily satisfied with our reality sometimes. Life can actually be going good for us, but He has something bigger. But as we think about that, we need to trust God with the big thing He has for us. It may be scary to do that. And I want us to think about fishing as we go to the last slide. Think about the guys in that boat. I don't even know if they see that. Focus on that picture. A, that's not a fish. That's technically a whale. All right? The reality on the surface is not anything close to what the reality below that surface is. When I first saw this picture, I was terrified. Anyone else? This was nuts. Especially because I see no ripple from that whale. He could have just been drifting right underneath that boat. Imagine hooking that puppy. You're out for a ride, probably straight down. God wants us to experience that. Once I got past the terror of that picture, it's like, that would be so cool. When we fish the way Jesus wants us to fish, and for the things he wants us to fish for, you're going to see the big things of God. And I think about today, and I've talked to a couple people today. I know you're here today and you're having troubles. Mentally, physically. And I know there are more than one of you. The reality sometimes we live is that one on the surface. And the one we need to be seeking is the one that's deep. Deeper than where we are today. And as we ponder this message and this time that we share, think about what God has for you. Ask him what that is. Let him show you what that is. Let him tell you, for Pete's sakes. In both those accounts, he told them where to fish. He tells us too. Most of the time, it tells us how to fish for someone. We miss it. Don't miss it. I want you to catch fish with or without dynamite, either way. But when we fish Jesus' way, it's always dynamite. It's always a sure thing. We may not see the result now. But when he tells us to fish, we're fishing on purpose. And for a reason. One we may never see. And I want us to think as we close here, you know, and ponder this picture. That usually what Jesus has for us is always far bigger than we could ever imagine. And if you're here today, and life is a little bigger and a little deeper than you might want it to be. You know, there are those of us here that can pray with you if you need prayed with, to help you find that the reality of what's lying underneath and come alongside you. We're always willing. So if God speaks to you and you want someone to pray with you, you can come up at the end and talk to me or one of our pastors or elders or someone in the pew next to you and say, hey, I'm having a little trouble with my reality. Would you pray with me? The person next to you is good too. Amen. Father, we thank you for this time and for these scriptures. And Lord Jesus, I'm thankful that these accounts were recorded for our benefit. Jesus, often we do things our way and it doesn't really matter. Sometimes we're just spinning our wheels, even if it looks good. Jesus, we don't want to live life that way. We want to see your big things. Show us the reality that you have just under the surface. Or even better, show us your reality that's deep. Teach us how to fish. Teach us how to live. And teach us how to love. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.